This is episode 130 with Athena Laz. This is The Elevator. Hop on in and ride into the ethers with Britt and Tara of Elevate the Globe.
Say you go from being awake to being able to walk through your consciousness into dreaming, and that feels incredible because you're aware the entire time. You see how the dreamscape, you move from a flat image, like you're looking at a photograph, to everything then becoming animated around you, and it feels exactly how real life feels.
Welcome back to the Elevator Podcast. We're your host, Britt DeAnda.
And Tara Schulenberg.
And today we are so excited about this guest that feels like she was delivered from the universe, which we know happens all the time for us and this podcast and so many of you guys. But Athena Laz is a depth psychologist and a dream teacher and a fourth generation intuitive. Her debut book, The Alchemy of Your Dreams, is out in the world coming up here on August 31st. And she's a natural intuitive and avid lucid dreamer and has worked extensively with trauma victims as well as couples and individuals from all walks of life. She has trained psychoanalytically and with particular interest in depth psychology. So we're going to learn all about this. We cannot wait for you to listen to this episode. And she is really helping people to discover the depths of their psyche and spirit through the medium of dreams, symbols, and images. So this one is very exciting. And we're so excited to see what activates within you through listening to this episode.
And you guys, as you're listening to this, we may have a room or two available still at our Joshua Tree retreat coming up here on August 26th to the 29th. We're going out into the desert. We are so excited. This is happening. We love being out in Joshua Tree. There's, you know, so many vortexes out there. There's so much energy. And the last time we did this, I think it was one of the most magical experiences we've ever created. So we're going back. We're doing it again, and we have some special surprises that we are whipping up, stirring up for you guys. So check the website if you are feeling called to head out to the desert. It's really, really a beautiful time for us to be in community right now as we're in this month of, feels like we're preparing for something coming. And so to be in community here is, I feel, don't you feel, Britt, like really what our hearts are desiring at the moment?
Yes. Oh my gosh. More than ever before, it just feels like we're all supposed to be together and be in person more and really exchange each other's energy as light workers and with light and heart energy. So it's going to be powerful. So if you're called to it, like Tara said, you can head over to elevatetheglobe.com/Joshua Tree. And if there's rooms available, then you'll be able to purchase it and come. If not, we hope to see you at another retreat or at an event in person soon. And we're just so excited for everybody coming. We can't wait to meet so many of you. So with that, we're about to get into the show here. If you're new to the podcast, thank you for being here. We're so honored to connect. Thank you for all of our loyal listeners that have been here for a while and from the beginning. But if you are new and you haven't already, we would love for you to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. And after you review the podcast, you can send us a screenshot to the elevator at elevatetheglobe.com. And we'll send you a little gift for our gratitude, our magic morning checklist to help you to implement a lot of the stuff we're talking about on the podcast and bring it into your life. So lastly, we would love for you to screenshot your favorite part of the episode and post it on Instagram at Elevate the Globe. You can tag us and we'll be reposting and share this episode with any and all of your friends and family to share this beautiful transmission. So with that, we'll head right on into the show.
We are so, so excited to be here with Athena, and we cannot wait to dive into all things dreaming. And Athena, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Athena, amazing. Where are you actually located in the world right now?
I'm currently visiting family in Cyprus.
Oh, how cool.
Wait, I don't know where Cyprus is. Where is this?
It's a tiny, well, it's actually not such a tiny island, but it's an island in the Mediterranean that's quite close to Israel and Greece.
Amazing.
I love it.
Well, I'm going to pretend like I'm there with you right now.
Well, it sounds good to me. It's so hot here, though, at the moment. It must be like about 111 degrees. So,
what? Wow, that's like Palm Springs here in California.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. And I'm out here in Mexico, Brit's in LA, you're in Cyprus. We're just connecting all over the world. I love it.
So brilliant. I love technology like that.
Right? I know. So we are so happy to have you. And before we were jumping on, we were asking, you know, do you know your sun, moon, and rising sign? But Athena, you were like, I know my sun sign. And you said you were an Aries, right?
That's it.
Oh, but I love an Aries. I love all of the fire. We're going to have to dive into your chart a little bit. I'd love to know a little bit more about your moon, your rising, where your Neptune is, because we're going to be talking all about dreaming today. And, you know, I was almost expecting you to be like a Pisces or, you know, a Scorpio or a Cancer, very water vibes, but you're fire and I love it.
I'm sure probably my moon side probably will end up being a water sign, but I'm keen to hear. If you've got insight for me when it comes to astrology, I'm all ears.
I love it. Amazing. Well, we'd love to hear just a little bit from you specifically, what you're doing now in the world and like a little elevator pitch for everyone.
I'm a lucid dream teacher, a psychologist, and the author of The Alchemy of Your Dreams. And what I'm currently doing in the world right now is trying to wake up as many people to the power of their dreams.
So good. That was like the perfect elevator pitch.
I don't know if we've had another one that was that short. Like you did a perfect job, truly.
We need you to help us with ours. You have another calling with elevator pitches.
It's good to know.
That's amazing. Well, we're excited to dive into this and we're just so impressed and excited about your book and everything that you're doing to wake up humanity. And we feel so aligned with your mission. And so to kind of dive in and get started, we were looking on your website and found that you said, I believe the world is at a tipping point. And so now more than ever, it is important that conscious dreamers, lucid dreamers, wake up and step into their power. And that really struck us because we've been feeling that in so many different ways. So we'd love to hear a little bit more about why you feel like dreams are a medium that people should be focused on specifically right now, more than ever before.
Sure. I think the main thing that I wanted to convey when I wrote that is that we're all co-creating our realities. And so many people already know that, but we only think about it in terms of our waking life. So we think like, you know, people on a sort of spiritual path, a personal growth path, a healing path, then we tend to awaken to the fact that we have some power in how we walk through our lives, through the world, but it tends to stop when we fall asleep. And almost every single ancient wisdom tradition speaks about dreaming and the incredible power of dreaming. And we are collectively seeing the ramifications of what happens when people are not mindful about what they are creating, what they are putting out into the world, what their energy is doing, what their thoughts are doing, and how they're moving through the world, how they navigate that, right? So my feeling is that we have to become really, we have to wake up to the fact that we are co-creating our reality at all times, and our dreams show us what we're creating. So that's really what I meant by that.
So amazing. And such a good perspective that I resonate with a lot. And it makes so much sense when you say it like that. So yes. Yeah,
I feel like yes. The dreaming is, you know, something that I very much resonate with that, because I actually dream a lot and I remember a lot of my dreams. And, you know, I know that not everyone remembers their dreams, and some people will say they don't really dream at all. And, you know, I feel like my dreams are very much a place where I do get messages, and I also really interact with the spirit world. So it is another like medium to get messages through. And I love that, you know, you're helping people kind of focus in on this as a way to connect more with their subconscious minds, their unconscious minds, their, you know, their pathways, their spirit team, and all of it.
Exactly. And it sounds so amazing that you're so connected to your dreaming, because that's exactly you know, what I was hoping people would hear and take away from my book. Everyone dreams every night. That's actually been apparently scientifically proven. So when I hear people saying, you know, I don't dream, actually, you probably do dream, but the recall is the issue. And most of the time, people don't sort of place their intention towards remembering their dreams, because a lot of modern societies, we've been taught that dreaming is kind of just this thing that you do, you know, you have your real life and your waking life, and then dreaming is something that just happens to you when you're sleeping. But really, when we dream, we get out of our own way. Our small minds are asleep, our egos are asleep. And so if we can learn to use that information and the guidance that we receive when we're sleeping through our dreams, we can take better action in our waking lives. And then, the you know, if you become a lucid dreamer as well, it takes it one step further, where it's not just about dreaming, it's about the bridge and the connection between two, which is really sort of ancient dream practices.
Oh, and we cannot wait to talk about that, lucid dreaming.
But it's funny because Tara and I have both been called to this more, and Tara does it more naturally. And I've definitely been getting messages over the last, I would say, 7 months-ish here and there, where, you know, there'll be a night where I'll just go through all these YouTube videos about lucid dreaming and I'll try it that night and it will happen and all this kind of thing. So it's definitely been coming to me. But one of the reasons why I was so drawn to you is because I personally need help with this, and I haven't read your whole book yet, but I'm excited to. But so I might be a little unique as far as people that you would talk to, but for me, consciously, I almost, probably half unconscious and half conscious, I almost feel like throughout the day, I'm getting so many messages, so much so that it's overwhelming at times, but something that I'm used to. So I almost feel like at night, especially because I have like kids and I'm being woken up to breastfeed and all this stuff, I feel like I'm almost like, can I just not receive? And can I just not do anything? Like, it's almost that kind of energy. But I know that I'm sure there's a higher, more elevated way to still use this powerful time and this state of being to help myself and my life. But I often don't remember my dreams at all. And if I will, it'll be very small blips. Like, I had one last night and I can remember it, but it was so small that I can't really connect it or piece it together. So I would love to hear, you know, a little bit more about what is a way to strengthen and rekindle this muscle? And what would you say to somebody like me or somebody similar that is not remembering their dreams?
I would say it's two things, right? I think if you are very connected Two Spirit and you're intuitive during your waking life, your perception is already open, right? And so you're receiving messages in a way that feels comfortable. And I think that's a great thing. I think that's a wonderful thing, actually, you know, and I really try and convey this message in my book where it's a bi-directional relationship, you know, that you're wanting to develop at all times, not just something that you're doing. Oh, you know, I'm having a problem today, so let me ask for guidance, like a gimmicky kind of relationship to this universal consciousness. So I think for anyone who's listening, who's not connected to their dreams, but feels intuitive during their waking life, I would say explore dreaming in a way that feels comfortable to you. And having the belief that you don't remember your dreams easily is something to just look at pre-falling asleep. So, you know, the 2 minutes before you're about to fall asleep, just put an intention to the fact that you will fall asleep and remember your dreams when you wake up. And that's the intention that you can have. And that should help prime you to better recall your dreams. And this isn't something that will happen overnight. Sometimes it does for people. Actually, most of the time it does. And, you know, it's really funny. Like a lot of people before they started reading my book said to me, like, I don't remember my dreams. I never remember my dreams. I haven't remembered them for like 15 years. And then through reading about dreams, they started to recall their own dreams. And I really believe that's because their intention and their awareness and their focus was placed on that avenue of their life so that they could understand what they're getting. And with dreaming, what's so wonderful about it, where it's an add-on, right? Like, if you're already quite intuitive and you're connected to spirit, your dreams will also show, give you guidance from that level, but they'll also show you your own psychological landscape, your inner landscape, and in a very honest way. So that if you're wanting to do personal growth work that helps you transform things that might be quite hard to look at during your waking life, or, you know, for whatever reason you haven't gone there, your dreams will tell you the truth. And I think that's really, really helpful for anyone. You know, but I do think there's a time and place for it. If you're a mom and you've just had a kid and you're busy and you're tired, you know, take it easy. Your dreams are with you for your whole life. And you can connect to them at any point in time if you want to. I really believe that. So I think it's just a matter of consciousness and will most of the time.
I love that. So amazing. And what if, just real quick, what if other people have dreams about you or give you messages from their dreams? Because that will happen to me all the time.
I'm keen to hear like what kind of interpretations people give you.
I mean, it's happened at specific points in my life more strongly. Like, you know, when my mom passed away, which is a monumental, you know, thing in my life. So it happened real strongly then. But even now, I have this one friend specifically that's a good friend who just texted me today, and she has it pretty often and it's very specific for me. And then it will happen with other people as well.
I love it. I think it's coming from people who you trust and care, and they love you and they support you. I feel, you know, you will instinctively know whether that dream is about you and is a message for you, or if it's a dream about them that they may be projecting onto you. It's actually quite amazing. In Judaism, there's a passage, I think in the Zohar, where they speak about only ever taking your dreams to people who love and support you, because all possibilities exist. And the minute you word them, the minute you speak them, you kind of call them into your existence, right? And I think there's such meaningful wisdom in those words that, like, if someone's having a dream for you or giving you or even interpreting your dream, if there's a possibility that it could come to be, you would want someone to interpret it in a way that was good and beneficial for you and for others. And I think that's the most helpful thing to hold in mind. So I really think it's about, you know, getting guidance from people who you love and care about. And likewise, if you're sharing dream information with people that you, you know, you've had a dream about, to be mindful of intention behind it.
Yeah. So what are like some tips, or how would you explain to somebody how to develop that understanding of being able to discern your own dreams, like discern, you know, if it's like a message for you or something to pay attention to, or if it was fear, you know, so people can start to like actually learn how to interpret their dreams. Cause I think for me, sometimes I get so many dreams that like, right. Sometimes it's like, well, was that a message or was that just, you know, subconscious fears playing out, or was that like something I was just working through? And I don't know. So that sometimes it's something, all of it. Sometimes I've literally had beings come into my energy field and like, I'm dreaming their dreams and I had to like kick them out of the room. Weird stuff like this happens to me. So I would love for, you know, any sort of like discernment advice, I guess, for interpreting what your dreams actually mean.
I love that you use the word discernment, because I think it's exactly that. I write about this in my book more fully, maybe not to that level, but definitely on how to become discerning about it. And the more that you work with your dreams, it's a bit like if you have an inner critic internalized in your mind, right? And then you have your intuitive voice, but you're just starting out at the beginning. It can be easy to mix up the two if you're not confident in yourself, right? Because the voice can sound like you, it can be difficult to discern it. So I think the most helpful practice is to really just be persistent in working with your dreams. And I have to think about it a little bit more in terms of like very practical tips, but I know I write about this in my book.
Okay, amazing. And so you're basically kind of saying using that same kind of discernment when your dreams mm-hmm. are being, or dreams are kind of other friends or people that love you are giving you that those messages, like to just have the discernment. Is right. it like a real message or something like a subconscious projection from that person?
Right. And I think there's something, okay, I guess talking about it's kind of jogged my memory. Down my side, sorry. So the main thing is this, if it's your, because, and I write about this in my book, right? You dream with your psyche, which is your mind, your inner landscape, your psychology in essence. And then also you connected when you dream to whatever language you want to use, you know, the collective consciousness, the universe, spirit, you know, whatever language is comfortable to you. And discerning between the two generally happens by knowing yourself better and also the feeling that you're left with, right? And being discerning in whether you're wanting something like a message to be a message because you want something to turn out the way that you wanted, or a message because it's a message. And I think it's very much like intuition. It's quite hard to explain it, but you know when you know. So I think that a subconscious fear, for example, in your dream will generally come about as something, you know, that feels very pivotal, but will feel very meaningful to specific situations that you've had in the past or are having in the present. My experience with it, if it's something a bit more transformative, if it's more universal in nature, is that it generally tends to be about something that you're going through in the present, but also something that might happen in the future. And so that is something that can be helpful to discern.
Oh, I love that. Okay. Cause that's what I was just thinking is sometimes like last night I had this dream that it was about something that already happened, but then it took it further to almost, you know, what happened because of the thing that actually happened. And then this morning I was like, oh, did that actually happen? Or is that going to happen or not? And I was a little confused. And then I've also heard from a lot of people that they'll just have random dreams about, or things that they think are random, I guess, about things that were happening to them that day, which I feel like is pretty common. So I guess, would you say, do you feel like all dreams have symbolism and meaning, or are some not? Like, is it possible for it to have no meaning or symbolism at all?
I think all our dreams have symbolism just because we dream through imagery most of the time. But that said, again, if you're a lucid dreamer, then you can get rid of symbols and images. But in terms of meaning, I think I'm of the view that you can have dreams, right? Where you have, that you've had a stressful day, you've been driving in traffic and you had a fight with someone or whatever it is, right? And then you spend your evening like repeating the same thing, but in a different way. And it just kind of feels like you're running on this treadmill. And people use the term, I think the term's called day residue, where you kind of carry your day with you into your sleep. And so if you're saying like, does that have meaning when I wake up? Am I going to get this massive insight? You know, probably not. You're probably not getting massive insight in this, you know, huge message from spirit or whatever you want to, but it is meaningful because it's helping you to process your emotions. So that's something that naturally happens through dreaming. And they've actually proven it scientifically that as you dream over the course of the night, the emotional intensity of your dreams tends to lessen, right? So you it's why sometimes you can wake up feeling better, even if it is stressful. So I think this kind of leads me to something which I think is very helpful for modern day people, which is we need to become aware of the way we fall asleep, because dreaming is this incredible space which can offer you so much more than just dreams of day residue of anxiety and things like that. But you have to be mindful about the way you fall asleep and your relationship to dreaming. So I think, you know, practices to sort of systematically relax and create a space where you feel good before bed, if you can, is really, really helpful.
That's so helpful. Yeah. And I was thinking about that because we love meditating and we practice and teach meditation for the morning when you wake up. And also we have bedtime rituals and things that we do. And I do believe that it helps so much, and have heard from so many different people like Abraham Hicks and countless, you know, truth seekers and people that hold a lot of wisdom, that if you are able to clear the mind and release all of that subconscious garbage, we like to call it, and if you're able to even say a prayer, like in the Kundalini tradition, there's a prayer where you visualize a shelf and you basically just give all your worries over to source or God. And you can just say a simple prayer to, you know, allow angels or whatever feels good for you to help you with those worries so that they're set aside, so that you can fully be in the best state and have the best experience that can help you the most during your dreams. So I love the way that you said that. And I do feel the importance of that. It just makes so much sense.
Right. And it's a great exercise, that one that you've just shared. And I love the imagery of it. And I think there's something to this that I wanted to convey in my book, is this idea that we are actually we have a lot more resilience and strength than we think we do. And sometimes we need to be able to give ourselves permission to release the stress, to actually have good sleep, to intrinsically allow yourself to do what your body and your spirit is designed to do innately. And I think whatever pathway gets you there, whatever exercise gets you there, and I list a whole lot in the book, throughout the course of the book, you know, mindfulness practices, whatever imagery gets you there, that's the course to take, because you know the easiest route to relaxation, so that you can use your dream space in a much more sort of enjoyable way, I guess.
Ooh, I can't wait to try your practices.
Me too. I can't wait to hear what you think.
Oh my goodness. I have so many questions over here. I'm like, because my dreaming world is kind of intense, honestly. Like sometimes it's like beautiful and magical, but you know, I would be interested to hear what you have to say. Cause I posted something on Instagram and it was like, I got some feedback from it and I thought it was an interesting thing to bring up. So what this basically was that I feel like when you remember a dream, not necessarily just in the morning right after, but for long periods of time after, like I remember 5 years ago, I had this very specific dream. It was maybe like actually 6 or 7 years ago. And it was almost like, it almost felt like a prophecy. And I can literally remember every single chapter of that dream still right now. And that recall is so strong that I sometimes wonder, like, you know, was that a big message? You know, like, how would you say like a message is delivered, like what it kind of feels like or might look like for people? And maybe it's different for everyone. But those most messages that you can remember and recall for long periods of time.
Well, 100%, right. I think your dream that you've just given this example, right, is a big dream. It's what people call, in the dreaming community, people call them big dreams, dreams that don't leave you alone. They care, you know, they walk with you throughout your life, or they're so significant and pivotal that you can't help but pay attention to them. And people sort of tend to like really good examples of these kinds of dreams when the terror attacks happened on 9/11 and before the tsunami hit in Japan, generally natural disasters, people always come out later and say that they had really big dreams, really pivotal dreams where they couldn't shake the feeling like their dream meant something more. But at the time, it didn't kind of make sense because it hadn't happened yet. But there's a weight to the dream. There's a feeling to the dream that it's important. And I think that two things happen. The one, again, because dreaming is fluid, right? We're dealing with all time, not just linear time. So it's becoming, again, it's about discernment about what you're dealing with. And like I had a very big dream in my 20s where I didn't pay attention to the dream when I woke up, because at the time I was just in this space where I wasn't in a good way. And I walked into a store and this act of synchronicity happened to me, and it made me click because it was related to my dream that like, oh my gosh, my dream was a complete message for me. And I didn't pay attention to it. And I only paid attention when something in my waking life reminded me of it.
Wait, can you say what it is? I feel like my mind needs to understand this.
Sure. So I share the story in the book. But,
you do? Okay. Well, that's okay if you want people to read it.
It makes a difference, right? But I had this dream where I was driving in my car. And at the time, it was the car I owned. And, you know, I had this little red City Golf, and that was like my first car. And I'm driving in my car and I have music playing. And it's just like, you know, I was on this wide open road and it was such like freeing dream. And then I look in the rearview mirror of my car and I see this Jaguar that's strapped into the back seat of the car. And in my dream, even now to this day, I mean, that's easily like 16 years ago, this dream, right? I'm sitting and I'm thinking in my dream, like, oh my God, I'm going to die. The Jaguar is going to eat me. Like, what do I do? And I had such anxiety about it. Like, I remember thinking like, should I jump out the car? What should I do? What should I do? And then I looked back again into the rearview mirror and I saw that the Jaguar, like how, you know, your dreams are, was about to speak to me. And then in that moment, I woke up. And at the time, I was like completely lost in my life. I didn't know what I should do. I didn't understand if I had, like, I didn't know what my talents were. I could, you know, I had no direction. I just really didn't know what to do. I felt completely lost. And so I woke up in the morning, had this huge dream, knew it was important by the way it left me feeling. And I did nothing with it. I kind of just decided to distract myself. So I went to this, you know, amazing space that had all these really pretty shops and these boutique style stores. And I walked through them, and then there was a secondhand bookshop. And I'll never forget, I walked into the store and the woman who must have been the manager or whoever, she just worked in the shop. She came up to me, she was on the phone, and she put down the phone, handed me these books. On the top of the pile of books was a book called Jaguar Woman by Lynn Andrews. And she said, like, have a look at them. And then she started speaking to another customer. So I went from having that dream where this, you know, this Jaguar was very present in my dream to then getting a book about it. And I knew I needed to pay attention. And as someone who's, I've always been quite intuitive, I just knew like I couldn't ignore it anymore. And that dream really helped me reclaim my power for a lot of reasons. But so, you know, you can have these big once-off dreams or twice or three times or how many ever times in your life. And they're very pivotal and incredible to have. But something that I want people to know, or anyone who's listening to this really, is that like those dreams are so special, but actually all of your dreaming is, because even the mundane dreams, even the dreams that don't, you know, don't feel like as glamorous, I guess, in their nature or as meaningful, are meaningful because every night when you connect, that kind of guidance is available to you. And generally, we just feel, you know, most people need really big, loud signs to actually pay attention, to get validation for what they're receiving. And so for me, my dream practice has completely shifted, where I view every single night as an opportunity to get something really incredible, just like that dream, and not to take the symbols, so not to judge or put assumptions or meaning onto the symbols. You know, so if you have a dream about your neighbor and then you think like, oh, I'm just dreaming about my neighbor, and it doesn't have as much weight, is insight probably into everything that we dream of.
So we're taking a midway break here from all of this dream talk. And something I'm really noticing in the collective at the moment is a big focus on healing the physical body, but then merging it with the emotional and mental body as well. So really kind of rounding out ourselves. And there's so much energy being flooded down as we're going, you know, through this Lionsgate portal. We've now are coming out on the other side of it, and there's just been so much energy. So it's a lot for our body to process. So, you know, for me, this year specifically has been all about really taking care of myself and tuning out all of the negative mind chatter. And really, it's that choice to be happy, to be relaxed, to be chill, to be peaceful, no matter what gets thrown my way, and to be able to step up when needed. So something that's really supported me with this, paired with my meditation practice, is these CBD gummies from the guys at Sunday Scaries. So when my mind races or I'm feeling tense, my body needs to relax, and maybe I'm overthinking and I want to get my mind right, I can take a couple CBD gummies, and in about 20 minutes, I'm feeling a lot more relaxed in my body. And so it helps to create more peace. And we're talking all about dreams here. What a perfect thing to take before going to bed to relax yourself and to walk you into that dream state. So there's a lot of CBD noise out there, and we really trust the guys over at Sunday Scaries for our CBD. So, you know, whether you need to de-stress your crazy busy life, you need to relax, you need to chill, or get back to that sleeping great feeling, right? Really is such a big deal. And this whole episode is about working in our sleep, but having fun. And we're really needing some extra support, maybe to tune out all that noise before our meditations, after our meditations, before going to bed. Check out all of the amazing CBD products at sundayscaries.com. So you can use our promo code ELEVATE for 25% off. So again, that code is ELEVATE for 25% off at sundayscaries.com. And this whole episode is about dreaming and really learning how to do that. Like how to actually actively like remember our dreams. And so a very, you know, cool way to prepare yourself for sleep is to meditate before you go to bed and to relax your body, your mind, and your energy before you fall asleep. And so you guys know that Britt and I, wherever we are, we always create like a meditation corner in our homes. And our favorite cushion meditation company, Mindful and Modern, really does have all you need, especially for our Kundalini practice. They are just this amazing small business that's doing so much good in the world, and they're really elevating the consciousness of the planet through product. And I love that. You know, it's why we support Mindful and Modern. Plus, their cushions are just so beautiful and so comfortable. And Mindful and Modern was actually started by three friends who met while traveling in Thailand. And through all of their own individual journeys with the Thai culture and Buddhism in Thailand specifically, they all began their meditation journeys. And this is where the idea for Mindful and Modern was born. So rad. And they all really wanted to be part of something, spreading the word about meditation to help it make it more approachable and accessible and appealing to everyone around the world. So what better way to do that than having something beautiful and luxurious and comfortable to make you want to practice in the morning? So all of their products, again, are just so gorgeous. You guys have seen us post about them on our Instagram, and they're so comfortable. Plus, they really make your meditation space look so beautiful. So if you haven't already, head over to mindfulandmodern.com/elevate, and you can use our code ELEVATE15 at checkout for 15% off your entire order. So again, it's mindfulandmodern.com/elevate, and for 15% off, use the code ELEVATE15. And really, it's such a good gift for yourself, your family, and friends. So give the gift of meditation, and love you guys. Satnam, thank you for taking this break here with us. And we are going to go right back into the show, all about our dreams. Yeah. And, you know, I definitely feel this because I have such a relationship with my dreams. I honestly quite enjoy them but I just have a lot of experiences that are weird. Like I have dreams where I've learned how to discern if I actually met my, you know, friends like on the astral plane. Right. And like, it almost feels like it really happened. Like I've met my grandmother there in dreams, and
it probably did.
Yeah. And what it feels like for me is like really, like I wake up and I feel peace, and I feel like I actually had that conversation with somebody. Like it feels like that in my body. Is that what you kind of, is that kind of a common reaction to meeting on the astral plane?
I think that it depends who you meet, but right. So meeting someone you love and care about, or someone who's passed that was meaningful to you, is really wonderful in that you can have that experience of serenity or peace, or closure, whatever it is. Right. And I think that's a really helpful way to know, because you actually innately know the difference, right? You know that it just feels different by the way it feels in your body on waking. And so I think that, yes, that's kind of universal, actually. But I think that the experience of it, I wouldn't say that most modern people are that connected to their dreams, you know?
I think that's so interesting. And, you know, I have so many questions. but, you know, I want to get to lucid dreaming. But before we get to that, I'm interested to hear a little bit more about your understanding of like sleep paralysis dreams, because I know in my immediate life, and even in our communities, we talk, you know, people will talk about dreams, and they'll talk about essentially having sleep paralysis where they, you know, you're in that in-between space. And I don't know what that means exactly, but I've had many experiences with it. And I'm wondering, I'm like, is that the gateway to lucid dreaming, that space?
Like people will feel it's like darkness sometimes.
Yeah, they'll feel like it's darkness. My first experience with it, though, was actually my dog passed away, my family dog. And I literally felt like it was actually light in my bedroom. And I felt four legs crawling over me. And I was like, get up. Something is literally like right on your bed. And I couldn't get up. And she came, sat behind my head, and a woman with red hair came to sit next to me, and she said, Maggie's here. She wants to talk to you. And the minute I tried to talk to Maggie, I asked her, like, you know, why were you such a mean dog? Because she was a really mean dog. And she just got mad and like everyone walked away. And then the darkness came in. Then the darkness came in and like tried to suffocate me with my covers. And so I've had kind of both experiences, but a lot of people will feel that it is that darker energy and you literally feel like you're getting attacked. Like you actually feel that. So I'm wondering what your take on like that is, and is that the gateway to lucid dreaming?
So, okay, two things here, right? The gateway to lucid dreaming doesn't, like, no, it's not the gateway.
Okay.
But sometimes it can be a byproduct of it. And I'll tell you why in a little bit after, right?
Okay.
So pretty much there's two ways, there are actually many ways to enter a lucid dream. And I'm going to start with that and then I'll move to sleep paralysis.
Okay.
So it makes a bit more sense, right? Say a practice that I do every night. There's a state between falling asleep and being awake where you can walk your consciousness into sleep and then into dreaming. And all the while you are conscious, right? So you don't fall asleep and then wake up in a dream and become lucid. It's very much what shamans, I believe, viewed. Actually, I know from my training, right, that it's what people do in a vision quest. That's the aim. That's the goal. That's what you're trying to do. It's an entryway into that higher consciousness, right? And in the passageway, whilst you're walking your consciousness from waking consciousness into the liminal state, it's called the hypnopompic state when you're about to fall asleep. It's the hypnagogic. And then into dreaming, right? So that's a practice that you can do for lucid dreaming. That's the gateway. And the gateway doesn't necessarily have to have sleep paralysis. Sometimes what happens, and my take on sleep paralysis, is that your consciousness is aware, but your body, obviously, you have a lot of like chemicals that change whilst you sleep, and your muscles, there's a hormone that's released so that you don't move your body whilst you don't act out your dreams whilst you're sleeping. And remaining conscious in that in-between state can be very frightening and is sleep paralysis, and it doesn't feel good. And the main thing to do if you are conscious is that you know you're conscious, you're experiencing sleep paralysis. It generally tends to be the same experience and the same imagery worldwide, right? The hag who sits on the chest, that's what it's often explained as and described as. And my advice on that would be to really push out your consciousness in a way that feels safe and secure to you so that you move through that experience as easily as you can, and to try and not panic because it will end, obviously. So whatever that is, white light, calling in someone, you know, to keep you safe, whatever to you and your own consciousness.
It feels like more protection, a stronger aura, an electromagnetic field around you, a stronger nervous system, like just, you know, being really protected and having that light around you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. And the reason I think I'm asking about, you know, is it the gateway? It's like, I think my own family, like my brother, for example, told me, and he's not told me how he's really done this, was that he would, for many years, would experience sleep paralysis. And yeah, everyone kind of describes it similarly, but that he finally learned how to lucid dream. And so I was like, he never told me how he learned how to lucid dream. So I was like, it would make sense because that, like, you don't really go into a lucid state probably from a state of kind of fear, I feel like. So, and lucid dreaming to me brings up a lot of fear, honestly. It's, or not lucid, sleep paralysis, because it feels scary. Like,
right.
You can't move and you're like, why can't I get out of this? Yeah, but.
And it's generally once you've already fallen asleep, right?
Yes. It's actually most of the time early in the morning for me.
Right. So that's the main thing here that I think is helpful to know. Okay. Mm-hmm. So when you're going into sleep at night, whenever it is, you're walking your consciousness from waking into sleeping into dreaming. Then you're coming out of the dream state. Your body's been, you know, physiologically has gone through a lot of changes. And then you're waking up back into consciousness, which includes your body. And that experience of sleep paralysis is when you're coming out of it. So that isn't lucid dreaming at all. That is not the experience of it. Sometimes lucid dreamers, and there's actually a book on it that you can read. I can't remember the title offhand, but I'll find the link for you. Sometimes lucid dreamers tend to have increased levels of sleep paralysis. And my take on that is just purely because you're conscious more often and you're walking yourself out of dream consciousness into waking consciousness, but your body is still asleep. It still has to wake up. It still has to catch up. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So paralysis is this thing that feels incredibly overwhelming and is horrible to go through. But if you have can recognize what's happening, right? Because most of the time people panic because it feels like a nightmare. It feels real. And then you wake up and then you're like, oh shit. And then it kind of carries on, you know. But if you can be mindful in the moment and recognize what's happening to you and then put your conscious intent and awareness to pushing out space, making the space feel good in whatever way you can, the experience tends to lessen.
Yeah, I appreciate that because I think I know that there's probably a lot of people out in our community and out in the world, honestly, that experience stuff like this. So it's just also helpful to know kind of why it's happening and how to really get out of it faster and faster.
And the thing is, like, I think the speed of it, I don't know if you can change the speed of it, but I think it's helpful to know that, right? What you can control in that situation is your consciousness, not the feelings, not the sensory feeling state of it. It's helpful to know that so that you don't freak out and panic, right? They're two, but also, again, they're very different. Lucid dreaming doesn't feel like that. Well, not necessarily. It shouldn't feel like that.
So what does lucid dreaming feel like then?
It feels quite amazing, to be honest. It's just this incredibly powerful realization most of the time. And it really depends how you become lucid in your dream that will alter how you feel about it, right? Say you go from being awake to being able to walk through your consciousness into dreaming. And that feels incredible because you're aware the entire time. You see how the dreamscape, you move from a flat image, like you're looking at a photograph, to everything then becoming animated around you. And it feels exactly how real life feels. Real life, and I'm doing like inverted commas here, how your waking life feels. It's just as real. So it'll feel like anything you experience in your life, except that the natural laws are different in the dreamscape. So you can fly, you can breathe underwater, you can dissolve the entire dreamscape from all symbols and imagery and ask for guidance, and you will get answers. So the experience of it is like, it's like saying if you could meet your inner guide, your inner teacher, upfront and close and personal, how would that feel? That's how it feels.
Is it true that there's almost like a mastery type level or a component of it where you can actually co-create or create things in your actual waking reality?
Yes. And it's part of the practice of it because you've learned to link the two realities together. And so if you look at a teaching like Abraham Hicks, right, they say that lucid dreaming is the closest you can get to source energy.
Yeah.
Because you're conscious in your dream state or state, and really all infinite possibilities are open to you. And with that consciousness, you can call it into yourself. And I share practices on how to do this in the book once I've walked through people about their just, you know, their symbolic regular dreaming. So there is a world, this like huge dream world available and open to you there and accessible. It just requires a little bit of practice and you will see changes. For example, right, if you have an injury in your waking life and you struggle to heal it, you can attempt to heal it in your dreamscape. And because things happen so much faster in that realm, you know, like it's like you have a thought and boom, you're there in a dream. The possibility exists in the dreamscape. And it's, you don't have to take my word for it. There have been studies through Harvard that have done research on healing in a dreamscape and seeing if there's a change on physical symptoms on waking. And there are tons and tons of first-person accounts online with people who've managed to heal injuries or symptoms or whatever it is in their sleep state. And, you know, obviously it's very much, I guess, you know, situation dependent. So I'm not saying that is definitely going to happen to everyone at all times, but the possibility exists. And for anyone who's ever felt stuck at trying something completely in their waking life over and over with no result, then my advice is try the dreamscape. You very well may be really pleasantly surprised, because in your dreamscape, it's totally different, but the same. It's a bit of a paradox. Yeah,
I feel like I'm such a big like manifester and I love manifesting and obviously like, you know, very conscious and very heart-centered and authentic. But I play with it a lot and think about it a lot. And that's one of the things that made me most excited about it that I've tried, I felt. So that's so cool. I mean, we're going to leave the link to your book. And also if you feel called and think that it would help anyone, the book that you may be able to find for the sleep paralysis portion that we were discussing. And then I guess our last question is a little bit about that topic that we were just saying. On the other side of things, can you use your dreams to get to the root of any traumas in the subconscious? So maybe somebody has something deeper to clear. And that can be part of then being able to create in their life. What would you say about that?
I speak about this in the book as well. And you definitely can. Your dreams are always speaking to you about what needs to be looked at. And I think with trauma work in a dream, if you're a lucid dreamer, it can be a very fast pathway to addressing it. And actually quite a empowering pathway. And then in regular dreaming or symbolic dreaming, I hate the word regular because it's actually not regular, it's quite special. In symbolic dreaming, your dreams will always guide you towards the pathway of wholeness and well-being. And your dreams, more often than not, will offer solutions or guidance in the symbols that they offer you. So even if you have a dream about something that speaks to a trauma or an unhealed aspect of yourself that you need to look at, your dreams will also point you in the direction of wholeness. They never just leave you standing, but most of the time people don't have that awareness about dreaming, so they tend to not find that gem in the dream. It's like finding the treasure within.
Oh, I love that. Yes, I just had a conversation with somebody I was working with yesterday, and they're very, very, very aware that they're triggered by very specific things that are all linked to a very specific energy and most likely is a trauma, but they haven't been able thus far to access it consciously or unconsciously to clear it. And oftentimes my understanding is that, you know, you can't remember a lot of the traumas consciously. That's very common.
Yeah. And your mind does that to protect you, right? I mean, it's actually a coping mechanism. Most of the time people view that as such a negative thing, but really, honestly, like your mind will keep you safe until you're ready to deal with that trauma. And I feel like there's also something here about trauma that I do think that it's the kind of thing that sometimes it's helpful to get support and get help because you don't need to go alone at it. But if it comes up organically in your dreaming or you're trying to place the intention to find out what that was, it can be incredibly powerful so that you can clear it, you know. But if it is completely hidden out of your consciousness, there's good reason for that. So there's like, not like cautions warranted, but I do think there's something to being aware of what can be awakened within your psyche.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And I think kind of going all the way back, kind of back to the beginning, it's like, there's so much work that you can do in your dreams. Like as you're sleeping, it almost like in a way extends your ability to your timeline or your timing or whatever your, it expands time for you to be able to do more work in this life if you're knowing how to navigate your dreamscape. So you can use it to actually accelerate your life forward and to do more here on the planet if you're actually utilizing this entire, you know, most of us sleep 8 hours a night. Yeah. You can do some work.
Right. Well, so it's so funny that you're saying this, right? And it doesn't have to feel like work. I think that's also helpful to know, you know?
Yeah.
It's very much can be a joyful path as well. But Tibetan Bon Buddhists, they speak about lucid dreaming as a pathway. It's actually a pathway to not reincarnating and being recycled into the karmic cycle so that you can transcend that and become enlightened. And that's one of the pathways to it. And because we all have sleep, we can use that time in a way to benefit ourselves and our spiritual growth. So I think it's something, you know, and it doesn't have to feel hard. It can be very easy to change habits, to start to awaken dreaming in your everyday life and the connection to it. And it's not just the connection to dreaming. As you do this work, you'll see how interlinked everything is, and your experiences in your waking life will organically change. So if you start a simple practice like dream journaling, every morning, even if it's like three sentences, key symbols, whatever it is, that's like an act of communication. That's an act of call that you're showing, you know, the universe, you're showing your psyche, you're ready to receive in a way that can be very helpful. And the more you do that, things alter and shift, and for the better. At least that's been my experience.
I do think that this is something that can benefit everybody. And just thank you so much for sharing everything that you have. This has been amazing.
Thank you for having me. It's been great chatting to you guys.
You as well. And we have just a couple questions to wrap up. And the first one is, what is your favorite way right now in this moment to elevate yourself?
I have to say it's definitely my dream practice. I'm focusing on my lucid dreaming in the terms of going to sleep and walking my consciousness into dreaming. So that would be it.
Beautiful. And then if you had a microphone in your hand and the whole world was listening, what would be one message that you would share?
I would say every night you are gifted guidance, solutions, and wisdom through your dreams. Are you listening?
Are you listening?
Such are you listening?
A good question.
Amazing. Athena, so where can people find you right now?
So the best way to find me, I'm on Instagram and my handle is Athena_Laz. And my website, my website is www.athenalaz.com.
Wonderful.
Your book is coming out soon too, on the 31st of August.
Yes.
So exciting. This is your first book out.
This is my first book out, and I have, I'm so excited about it. It's currently being translated, I think, into 11 languages or something and counting. And it is so exciting for me because I've wanted to write a book for such a long time. And I feel that everyone is really ready to hear about their dreams, especially after, or, you know, the pandemic made everyone kind of go inwards. And people were faced with their dreaming one way or another. And so this is the best way to get a really good relationship going with dream life.
And your new book is called The Alchemy of Your Dreams, A Modern Guide to the Ancient Art of Lucid Dreaming and Interpretation. And I imagine people will be able to find it on Amazon and in all bookstores. Is there anywhere else you'd like to direct them to get the book?
It's available everywhere. So in the US and all the major retailers, and if anyone's listening in the UK, the same thing.
And I imagine that you did some beautiful work in your dream state to get it out into the world and into 11 languages already. That is absolutely incredible. So excited for people to read it. And thank you again for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. That was wonderful. Oh my God. I just want to like go to sleep right now to figure this shit out.
What are you going to figure out?
I just want to like play in dreamland and do weird stuff.
Oh my God. Well, that was amazing. And I feel like in a way I'm kind of having to come back down to the earth after talking to Athena, just because, you know, the dreamland, when you talk about it, I don't know, I just get so out of my body a little bit.
It is wild, but it's so nice to have an expert like her, who is so deep in this whole world and has studied and experienced and dedicated her life to this work and has this whole book coming out. And that's just really cool to connect with people like this.
Absolutely. Yeah. She's really amazing. And I can't wait to read this book. I feel inspired to connect more with my dreams and play a little bit more and develop this lucid dreaming muscle. Because like she said at the very end, like, you know, if you had the opportunity to meet your inner guide every night, wouldn't you do it? It's like, yes, I think I would.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Should we go into the lobby?
Anyway, yes, let's do that.
It's time for lobby talk.
All right. I wonder if we were in the lobby in Paris at like the best hotel ever, and we were talking about dreaming and lucid dreams, and that we created this hotel stay here at this most amazing hotel in the whole world, if people would be interested or think we were just batshit crazy.
I don't know. I don't know. It's questionable. I don't know. Oh man. Well, okay. So what do you like, if you're going to lucid dream, mm-hmm. like what are you going in to like, what are you personally going in to find out?
I'm like going to go in and just change my timelines and throw in some really cool, like, wild, random, exciting things that are miracles, and just kind of, you know, have fun and help people and throw some stuff around and meet some cool people and throw do some cool stuff.
Yeah, that's what I hear you can do. You can do anything.
Yeah.
You can do everything. Yeah, I love it. The ultimate playground in the astral realm. I love it.
Oh my gosh. Because I've seen these YouTube videos where people talk about how they've created these, you know, it's just like manifesting. I feel like it's literally the same thing that people talk about, manifesting at really high levels. And like we were talking about on this episode, definitely in line with Abraham Hicks and just how far you can take it if you want to, and you're conscious and you're available to the frequency. And so I guess I just saw these videos and went on this whole rabbit hole one night where they were just saying how they created all this cool stuff. I don't even remember what it was, but that's something that really stood out to me. So people are doing it, and they're doing it in really cool ways. And I guess for us and the community, I believe that we can do it on larger global levels. And of course, in our personal lives, but especially when we all come together with these common intentions and missions, we can make a lot of movement and do really cool things with cool angels and physical people. And I don't know, it just feels so exciting and limitless.
Oh my God. Okay. So maybe we do just construct what you're talking about, this building or this place in our minds, and invite all of us listening and all of us in the community to meet there in our dreams. And this is where we have meetings that nobody can track.
Oh my God, I love this. Yes.
Okay, so we're going to have to figure out like exactly, we're going to do this. It's going to be a project.
Okay.
Exactly what it looks like. We're going to construct it and we're going to tell people to meet us there.
Do we need to do like another podcast episode about this?
Yes, I do. I think we need to. We're going to, Brittany, you and I have to construct it first and then we got to tell everyone where it is and what it looks like.
Okay.
So they can meet us.
And if anybody has any feedback here that you feel compelled to contribute, you can email us at theelevator@elevatetheglobe.com and we will use this feedback with our little plan here.
Because Bert and I were like, well, where are these places that you can, you know, what are some devices or technology that we can use without being tracked by all the social medias and all the algorithm and all the things? It's like, maybe we got to do it in the astral realm, but we got to construct a coordinate for people to know how to get there.
Yeah. Because we're gonna even do this. Telegram, we're finding, is untrackable. And if you have no clue what we're talking about, don't worry about it. But
just meet us in the astral realm. Yeah. We're going to construct it. We'll let you know where it is. And then you guys meet us there in your dreams. Cool?
So cool. Fun. Okay. And if you want to come in person, we're going to be in Joshua Tree and we'll be other places in the world.
But we'll take everyone there in Joshua Tree. We'll do it in Joshua Tree.
Yes.
Oh my God. Right. Okay, well, so stay tuned for that. And we love you, but we're going to head out and go to sleep.
With that, well, we're actually doing another 10 podcasts, but we'll sleep when we die. So with that, may the pure light within you guide your way on. Sat Nam.
Guide your way on. Love you.